This is BYU Idaho Radio. I'm Brandon Isle.
And I'm Virginia Henry. And this is Tell Me About It. Coming up in the next half hour, BYU Idaho students are ready for The Runway, a fashion show that's all about collaboration and education.
It's a huge collaboration all over campus, pulling everybody in to help, but it's student run. And so the students make all the decisions, they make all the contacts, they do the work.
Plus, we go with officers as they help local families have a great Christmas.
Well, I say it's just a great, great program for us to provide a Christmas and provide something positive back to the communities.
And we may have snow outside, but the BLM is looking for summer firefighters. One firefighter tells us what the work is like.
These stories and much more coming up in Tell Me About It. But first, the news.
For BYU Idaho Radio, I'm Brianna Willis. This morning, The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints announced age changes for youth progression and ordinations. Starting next month, children will complete primary and begin attending Sunday school in young women or Aaronic priesthood quorums as age groups at the beginning of the year they turn 12. Young women will progress between young women classes and young men between Aaronic priesthood quorums as age groups at the beginning of January in the year they turn 14 and 16. Young men will be eligible for ordination to the appropriate priesthood office in January of the year they turn 12, 14, and 16. Young women and ordained young men will be eligible for limited-use temple recommends beginning in January of the year they turn 12. Ordination to the priesthood office for young men and obtaining a limited-use recommend for young women and young men will continue to be individual matters based on worthiness, readiness, and personal circumstances. Here are some reactions to the changes from students at BYU Idaho.
I think it's really cool because I was like alone during those times. When I was like 12, my birthday's in October, so I had to wait a long time to get into young women's.
In the church, especially with President Nelson, it seems like he's trying to accelerate the growth of the church, and he's always focused on the youth, especially the young men. Listening to priesthood session, he always talks to the young men, the deacons, all that. So I think he wants to prepare them for what's coming earlier, because temptations and whatnot, Satan's hitting them at a younger age. So he's literally just giving them the ability to fight back a little bit sooner.
There's been already a ton of changes with Russell Nelson as the prophet already. So I feel like he's just prepping the way for everyone to get ready. There's going to be a lot of interesting things in the future, so we'll see how it goes.
We have a link to a letter from the First Presidency and Frequently Asked Questions section on our Facebook page. Dislike BYU Idaho Radio. Idaho State Board of Corrections voted to extend its $46 million a year contract with Corizon Health for inmate health care for another 2 years. The Idaho Press Tribune reports the board also voted this week to immediately launch a process to take the contract out to bid at the end of the 2-year extension. Corizon has had the contract since 2005. The contract allowed for an additional 2-year extension after this one, but the board opted against that. Board Chairwoman Debbie Field said there were lots of hesitations. Let's put it that way. Idaho has faced multiple lawsuits and court orders over inmate health care. The street where Idaho National Laboratory has several buildings in Idaho Falls will now be known as M.K. Simpson Boulevard. Last night, the Idaho Falls City Council voted to change the name of University Boulevard to M.K. Simpson Boulevard, named after Congressman Mike Simpson and his wife Kathy. The name change request came from the INL because of Simpson's work to keep the INL funding and its mission ongoing. Councilman John Radford introduced the resolution.
We're not talking about a little bit of substantial work here, but a lifetime of service from Congressman Simpson. And it's been billions of dollars that have come to our valley because of his efforts and his care. And not all people do that in our Congress. Not all people really, even in our own delegation, we haven't always had that. With this congressman has made this happen, and his initiative has made this happen.
Councilman Jim Francis voted against the measure because he says Simpson shouldn't be honored in this way before he retires from Congress because it becomes a political endorsement.
It's so much wiser, in my view, to say this kind of honor comes when the leader has stepped aside from that position and has retired. And then that's the right time.
The council did not say when the change will officially happen, but mentioned there will be a later celebration. I'm Brianna Willis for BYU Idaho Radio.
Thanks, Brianna. This is Tell Me About It. I'm Brandon Isle.
And I'm Virginia Henry. Tonight, we have a slight chance of snow in eastern Idaho and a bigger chance of snow in western Wyoming. Lows tonight are in the teens to 20s, with highs this weekend in the 30s.
The Christine and Tyson Parker Christmas performance is happening Sunday, December 23rd at 7 p.m. at the Idaho Falls Temple Visitor Center at 1000 Memorial Drive. For more information, go to their event page on Facebook at facebook.com/IdahoFallsVC.
Coming up, local families in need get a boost from local officers.
Well, like I say it's just a great, great program for us to provide a Christmas and provide something positive back to the communities.
We take you behind the scenes of the Shop with a Cop program.
And you could have what it takes to be a wildland firefighter. This is Tell Me About It.
Teaching online is the kind of giving that lifts others, not just for a season, but for a lifetime. All you need to do is visit go.byui.edu/teachonline. Share the joy and literally light the world. Teach online for BYU Idaho. Visit go.byui.edu/teachonline.
This is Tell Me About It. I'm Virginia Henry.
And I'm Brandon Isle. In preparation for fire season this summer, the Idaho Falls District BLM is now hiring for several wildland firefighting positions.
Student reporter Jessica Morgenthaler has the story.
If you love the outdoors and are willing to work hard to protect them, then you sound like a wildland firefighter. This is a job that gives you the chance to be a part of something great, helping to save wildlife and homes all over the country. These firefighters spend hours and sometimes days out in nature putting out destructive wildfires.
It challenges you mentally and physically, and that's the part that's kept me in the job so long.
This is Kelsey Griffey, the Idaho Falls District Information Officer and wildland firefighter. She told me all about what it takes to work with wildland fires.
When you're facing that flame front, there's so many different ways to tackle that. And then also just testing your body for how far it's going to be able to hike and work and put in those long hours. So if you like challenging yourself, wildland firefighting is the job for you.
The Idaho Falls District is now looking to fill several positions opening up to get ready for their fire season in the summer. Their mission is to sustain the health, diversity, and productivity of America's public lands for the use and the enjoyment of present and future generations. If you want to be a part of this, you can apply by visiting usajobs.gov and search for forestry technician positions. The Idaho Falls District has stations in Idaho Falls, Pocatello, Atomic City, Blackfoot, Fort Hall, Malad, American Falls, Dubois, Salmon, and Soda Springs.
And then you work those really long days outside in the 90-degree heat, and then you turn in to sleep in your sleeping bag on the ground and then do it all again the next day. But it's some of the most fun you can ever have because it's really all about the people, make the job great, and the fact that you're outside and not in a cubicle.
For more information and to get the full job description, visit idahofireinfo.com and click on the Idaho BLM Fire and Aviation Job Announcements tab. For BYU Idaho Radio, I'm Jessica Morgenthaler.
This week, BYU Idaho released its last physical copy of The Scroll before it switches to digital with a once-a-semester physical copy.
You can now keep up with school news online or through the Scroll app. Student reporter Bailey Escamilla talked to Scroll Editor-in-Chief Christian Anderson.
So it's the final one. So can you tell me a little bit more about it?
Yeah, sure. So it's a 40-page one. We usually do about 20 to 24 pages, but since this was the last issue for us, last weekly issue, we wanted to do something kind of special, still cover news, but also kind of pay homage to how historic of a paper it's been, over 113 years old. It's gone through a lot of different names, and so what we've done is we've taken highlighted stories and the histories of these old newspapers. So, for example, the Student Rays, the Purple Flash, the Viking Flashes. We've taken those articles, kind of highlighted them, and created kind of a new version of each article showing how things have changed but also stayed very similar here on campus. So it's kind of just an homage to what the paper's been to this school for the past 100 years. Personally, I love newspapers, but the first time I get breaking news from anything, you know, whether it's Washington Post or New York Times, is on my phone. So we've decided, well, we want to be the first medium that people go to here on campus for news on campus.
Why should somebody pick up a scroll this week?
It's the last one. It's meaningful, obviously, in the sense that there won't be any more weekly ones. But I think it's a part of history, you know. I think people care more about the history of the school than they think. For example, when we announced the Kirkham was going to be destroyed, people kind of freaked out, and they were that was a talk of campus for a few days. And not to say that we're not, you know, a concrete building like that, but we're an entity that's been here for a long time, and I think people should pick it up because it's a rich history that has affected them and is affecting them, and the path we're going is going to impact them, I think, in a really positive way.
This past Saturday, the Rexburg Police Department held its annual Shop with a Cop event. Student reporter Alec Pope has the story.
It's early Saturday morning and the Rexburg Walmart is buzzing with excitement. More than 100 police officers are preparing to help 75 children pick out Christmas gifts for their families. Every year, hundreds of people across eastern Idaho are blessed with a Christmas by local police departments as a part of the Shop with a Cop event. The program, which has been running for decades, helps families struggling financially and those who have recently been struck by tragedy to have a Christmas experience that would otherwise be impossible. Lieutenant Colin Erickson from the Rexburg City Police Department has overseen the event for 18 years.
The goal of the Shop the Cop is just to provide Christmas to families that normally would never, is going through a hard time that probably would not get Christmas. They could be a family that's been involved with the criminal justice system that just had a very traumatic situation happen to their family, or it could be also a family that had, you know, maybe something happens that they just won't be able to provide Christmas.
The event normally happens a few weeks before Christmas and happened most recently this past Saturday. Once a child or family is selected, they are then paired up with a police officer. Each pair then eats breakfast together at McDonald's before heading to Walmart for the shopping. In each pair, the child directs the officer where to go. Some walk out in front, with the officer following behind. Some just sit in the grocery cart and point. After about an hour of shopping, the officers and children wrap the gifts on a few work tables. Minutes later, they emerge from the store with what can sometimes be multiple carts of wrapped gifts for their families. Outside the front doors, parents and siblings are waiting for their little ones to return. It's a great experience for the parents, children, and officers alike.
Well, like I say, it's just a great, great program. Like I say, all the years I've been involved with it, there's always a unique stories that come from it, and just a unique connection with the kids and the families. And it's for us to provide a Christmas and provide something positive back to the communities.
I spoke with one family as they waited outside the Walmart doors for their son. They told me that their family has gone through a lot of struggles recently and that this event had been a sweet experience for their entire family. Now, their son wants to be a police officer when he grows up. For BYU Idaho Radio, I'm Alec Pope.
This is such a great program, and you can tell the officers really enjoy being a part of it. Alec, you were there at Walmart as kids were picking out presents. Tell me about it.
Well, you're right, Virginia. I was there. It was a wonderful experience to be a part of and to be able to go and see these children that many of them otherwise wouldn't be able to have a Christmas for their family. The excitement on their faces, you could see it. They were buzzing. There's this kind of this nervous excitement going on in the Walmart as I saw police officers lining up with the children, pushing them in carts, and they're picking out gifts, the children leading them. And as I spoke with some of the officers, some of the children involved, and then just some people that happened to be at Walmart that day who were observing, it was a great experience to be able to, is a reminder about what Christmas is all about giving and watching these children to be able to, they're excited to get Christmas for themselves, but in addition, and probably the more excited part for them
was they were able to give Christmas gifts to their family.
Well, we're so grateful that we have this program going on right here in our community. Thanks, Alec.
Thank you.
The life of a Pocatello man who achieved Hollywood's highest honor is on display at the Marshall Public Library. The life of Edward Stevenson will be displayed on the second floor of the library from now until January 12th. Stevenson was awarded an Oscar in 1961 for Best Costume Design, Black and White, for his efforts in The Facts of Life. Trent Clegg with the library tells us more about the life of Stevenson.
He ended up in Hollywood after his dad's death, and he became a costume designer. And during his career, he designed for such little films as Citizen Kane, It's a Wonderful Life, Gunga Din, Love Affair, Suspicion. He costumed a lot of landmark Hollywood movies from the classic era, actually. And seeing as how it was the 50th anniversary of his death on the 2nd of December this year, and also seeing as how he's from Pocatello and his boyhood home used to occupy part of the site that is now the library, we felt it was fitting to mount a display in honor of him.
Stevenson was born in Pocatello in 1906 and died in 1968 at the age of 62. The display features photographs, costume sketches, and images of films he worked on. Again, this display will be up through January 12th.
Tonight, we have a chance of snow in eastern Idaho with lows in the teens and 20s and highs tomorrow in the 30s. If you're traveling this weekend, Boise has a chance of rain and snow tonight and partly sunny skies tomorrow with highs in the 40s. Salt Lake City is cloudy tonight, but will be mostly sunny tomorrow with highs in the 40s.
Sing Joyfully, a holiday celebration, is happening tonight at 7:30 and tomorrow at 2 p.m. at the Civic Center for the Performing Arts on Holmes Avenue in Idaho Falls. Music includes selections from the Polar Express and the Messiah. For ticket information, go online to ifsymphony.org.
Coming up on Tell Me About It, BYU Idaho students are learning the ins and outs of the fashion world. And they're putting on a big show.
It's a huge collaboration all over campus, pulling everybody in to help, but it's student-run. And so the students make all the decisions, they make all the contacts, they do the work.
Plus, in our Media Matters segment this week, we talk about holiday entertainment. This is Tell Me About It on BYU Idaho Radio. We'll be right back.
BYU Idaho Radio's Tell Me About It is a half hour of local and regional news done locally.
With winter rapidly approaching,
BYU Idaho provides students with free tutoring.
The creation for Kidsburg came from Daniel Torres, the economic development.
Tune in this Friday afternoon at 4 on BYU Idaho Radio 94.3 FM.
Hi, I'm Grant, and I love listening to the music of The Greatest Showman.
Yeah, me too. My favorite song is From Now On, when P.T. Barnum runs home after being on the road for so long, away from his family.
That song gives me the feels, Bradley.
Listen to movie music like this every Friday and Saturday night at 7 on The Perfect Score on BYU Idaho Radio.
You're listening to Tell Me About It, and this is our Media Matters segment. I'm here with Michelle Mead, our expert in all things media. How are you, Michelle?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Great. It is the Christmas season, and
hooray!
I know people are just eating up all the Christmas programming we have out there, and I thought we'd talk a little bit about just kind of the programming features that we have and just some fun things that you can watch on TV.
Well, the most amazing thing that I think I found was that the Hallmark Channel and Hallmark Movies and Mysteries is presenting 37 original Christmas shows, dramas, I guess, this year. That's a lot,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, Hallmark's become a powerhouse with Christmas. I know it's a favorite for a lot of people, and the storytelling is not always the highest caliber, but people don't care.
It's fairly traditional, but I guess because it's Christmas maybe and we're thirsty for feel-good stories.
Yeah.
They always end up pretty happy, do they?
Yeah. Yeah.
Always.
Yeah, okay. Girl gets guy, Christmas problem solved, whatever.
I wish whatever that would just solve my Christmas problems, you
yeah,
know?
If only.
If only.
I know they do it in July as well, Christmas in July, and people just love it. Like Hallmark's ratings are just through the roof during July and December.
Oh, so, hey, if you've got a good formula. Yeah. And that's the thing to
and
do.
And it's, I think Netflix is copying it now. They've had a few of these Hallmark-style Christmas shows on, and my wife makes me watch
them. I came across something called Lifetime. Have you heard of Lifetime
Channel?
Oh, yeah,
Lifetime's yeah, been right? around forever. Right.
And they've been producing a lot of their own, too. So, yeah, it's quite a thing. Now, I come from a more British background, so I'm not as familiar with American TV, and we still watch everything online now. But British TV is quite a different kettle of fish altogether, really, because around Christmas, it's all about live shows. Everything's live.
Well, that, you know, it's so fun that in the United States, we have so many traditional ones. Like, we always have to see Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer or
the puppet
the Charlie
version,
Brown.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, puppet, A Christmas Carol. So those are our staples. We always have to go, oh, when are we seeing A Wonderful Life this year or A Christmas Story, those ones. But you're saying in the UK,
always,
it's all
live. new stuff, new. You listen to The Queen, you have the Top of the Pops, and pretty much every soap opera does something on Christmas Day. So now soap operas in Britain are quite different than here. They're not glamorous in any way. They're pretty gritty and grim. But you usually have, I don't know, a train crash or something fabulous like that. And then there's like the Call the Midwife, which has just become this, I guess it's becoming a tradition now to watch Call the Midwife. That's been going about eight seasons. And so, yeah, when I was looking through what's available, those are all available. And then in America, you've got Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer, The Christmas Story, things that I remember seeing years ago that are being recycled again and again because they're traditional.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. Do you watch TV on Christmas Day then or not?
I'm trying to think. I don't think we typically do. Sometimes we'll go out for a movie.
Will you? You go
yeah,
out.
Yeah. So family movies are a thing for us. I think this year, Mary Poppins Returns is probably mm-hmm.
yeah,
the one
a
lot
one.
Of families will go to. Benedict Cumberbatch was a Grinch. That came out a little earlier, but
yeah.
that may have some staying power as we get closer to Christmas. So things like that my family enjoys. I'll have to put a plug in for BYU Idaho's Christmas concert. So you can watch on Idaho PBS, the public TV station, on Tuesday the 18th at 7 p.m. and Monday, December 24th at 8 p.m. You can watch last year's Christmas concert.
Well, that's nice.
And that featured Santino Fontana. He was the bad guy in Frozen.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Fabulous singer. He was here with Lexi Walker, who's a young singer and just a fabulous voice. So you can watch that. And I know like BYU TV has several concert specials out there. So a lot of fun stuff like that on BYU TV and public television.
And where you can kind of keep yourself safe and happy and you know it's going to be just cheerful things. You don't even have to watch the news on Christmas. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Yeah, no news.
And being a news guy, I used to have to go and produce news on Christmas. It was terrible.
I know. That was always the time that you hated it the most. It was, oh, not on Christmas, because nothing's happening either.
No,
which is
people are home with their families,
good,
as
but
it
yeah.
should be. Great. Any place that you found that if people wanted to see what's on TV or what's good
so there's
out there?
So there's a website called The Den of Geek that has a day-by-day listing of all the shows in the U.S. that are showing on cable. And I believe Netflix as well, but it was a very substantial list. So that's kind of a fun thing to go to if you're not getting your TV guides anymore.
Right.
And then I think that was the main one. I did find a few other sites, but I didn't think they were as good as Den of Geek.
Okay, perfect. Some fun Christmas stuff going on TV.
Yeah.
Thanks, Michelle.
Bye.
Apparel students at BYU Idaho learn to make clothing and apparel through various classes. This weekend, the Fall Fashion Show is happening. Student reporter Emma Hassel tells us about it.
Every winter and fall semester, the apparel design students and faculty at BYU Idaho put on a fashion show. It's one of the largest student-run events on campus. Other students who are involved in the show include family and consumer science and applied plant science majors. Students model their work down a runway, just like a regular fashion show. The event is decorated with the help of the applied plant science majors.
And it's like a big overgrown wedding reception. You've been there, you've seen that.
Mm-hmm. The bridal bouquets.
We plan it for a whole semester, so every Friday morning they work with us. The catering event students that are in the Family and Consumer Science Department, they always cater it.
This semester, the show is called Apricity, which means the warmth of the sun in winter.
It's a huge collaboration all over campus, pulling everybody in to help, but it's student run. And so the students make all the decisions, they make all the contacts, they do the work.
Jeanette Orme and Julanne Blake are the two full-time apparel design teachers on campus. They work with students throughout the semester to prepare for the fashion show. Orme describes the show as a big overgrown wedding reception. Blake and Orme helped develop online sewing and pattern making classes. Blake says she involves the online students in the fashion show.
I helped develop the first online beginning sewing class, and Sister Orme helped develop the first online pattern making class. And so those students are invited to model what they have made, at least take a picture of it, and send it to us, and it's part of our PowerPoint. So they are part of our fashion show as well.
The fashion show used to be for advanced students, but Orme and Blake have since opened it up to all apparel students and have made it a requirement for the classes. The fall fashion show, Apricity, will happen on Saturday from 4 to 5:30 p.m. in the Manwaring Center Grand Ballroom. For BYU Idaho Radio, I'm Emma Hassel.
Tonight begins three nights of performances for the Tabernacle Choir at Temple Square, Orchestra at Temple Square, and Bells on Temple Square for the annual Christmas concert.
This year's concert features Emmy and Tony Award-winning actress and singer Kristen Chenoweth. Choir director Mac Wilberg says Chenoweth has been on their radar for about 10 years, and she's more than living up to their expectations.
I think we were just all completely overwhelmed and charmed by the incredible energy that she brings to the stage.
She told reporters Wednesday that this chance to sing with the choir is a dream come true.
There were exactly three shows on TV I watched growing up. It was the Mormon Tabernacle Choir Christmas Special, it was Miss America, and it was the Tony Awards. That says everything you need to know about this girl right here. This is a bucket list. It's the music that draws me in every time.
More than 600 people are participating in the concert this year. Complimentary tickets are sold out, but there will be a standby line at Temple Square. I have a chance to go to this concert this weekend, and I'm really excited. I've seen Kristen Chenoweth in different roles on TV and movies, and she's just fantastic. She's dynamite, like Mac Wilberg was talking about.
What is the biggest thing you're looking forward to at the show, besides seeing her on stage?
For those of you who have seen the Christmas concerts that the choir puts on, they're just amazing. Some of the best productions out there. And the fact that the church offers free tickets to people, it's amazing. You don't have to pay like $50 to go to a concert like this, but the quality they produce is something that you'd pay well more than that to go see. But it's free. And they put it on PBS and they put it on BYU TV later. So if you aren't able to get to the concert this year, you will have a chance to see it later, probably next year.
That's cool. I think I might try to go next year.
Yeah, it's worth it.
Thanks for listening to Tell Me About It. This is our final episode of the year, but we'll be back again next semester with more local news and interviews.
Our theme music comes from BYU-Idaho student composers Alex Watson and Anders Nelson. Find this show and our other podcasts on social media or wherever you get your podcasts. Just like, follow, and subscribe to BYU Idaho Radio.
This is Tell Me About It on BYU Idaho Radio, 94.3 FM.